Talk Shoe.
Recorded live.
What up, people? This is Speaking Like You Think It Radio. I'm your host, Nas, joined by one of the all-star cast members tonight. We're running this duo thing out here. I don't know. We'll see what it is. But tonight I'm joined by fantasy football genius, Cowboys fan extraordinaire, the great James Roberts. What up, James?
Yo, what up, Nas, man? It's your boy. We're going to hold some people accountable tonight.
That's what's up. We're going to hold some people accountable. But before we get to that, because I know we're talking UGA then, let's get into this Cowboys situation, man. There's a bunch of ways we could talk about this. So let's start off first, though, with the great Dez Bryant and the overreaction to the sideline conversation he had with coaches and players during that game, man. What were your thoughts initially, man? Because people started going crazy. They're trying to call him T.O. and all this other stuff.
My thoughts initially was, we about to lose this motherfucking game.
Right.
Why y'all damn throw me damn ball down there on the other end?
Right, right.
And so I ain't had no problem with it, man. Cause I was looking at, I was saying to myself, okay, should they just run three plays and be done? Or should they throw the ball to Dez Bryant because the cornerback 10 yards off of him and let him get his first down and then run the three plays?
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like that's what he's going off on. And then with the defense, the defense kept us in the game, and then they lost the game. I didn't like how they played Calvin Johnson. They left for a car on him, basically. I did have about 100 yards, man. I had to be like, okay, we got to at least double this guy or something. 200 yards. Okay,
some of the times he was double, though, and Stafford just threw up a jump ball, and he just happened to come down with it.
Man, I just had to put three guys on because ain't no way I just let that be my man. Basically, that one man single-handedly beat us pretty much.
300-plus yards receiving, man. He got to the record.
Then Brian was upset because they didn't start throwing him the ball to the third, fourth quarter.
Yeah, three catches. And they said a lot of the argument was about him seeing certain coverages. Like, look, I was open on this play. I was open on that play. Get the ball to me. I'm trying to make plays. And they said he was rah-rah trying to hype up his teammates. But just because he is who he is, people just, you know, decided that it was some T.O. stuff and just started saying
well,
it was.
Like I said, even with T.O., T.O. wanted to win.
Yeah.
Dez wanted to win. You think Mike Irvin would have been on the sideline down snapping?
Oh, man, he'd have been spitting and frothing at the mouth. He'd have been going, man.
I mean, you think Tom Brady wouldn't have been on the sideline there, you know, testing the offensive coordinator out because he let him run three plays instead of letting him throw the ball and try to get the first time or Peyton Manning?
But I'm glad you said that name, though, because a couple people brought it up. We were talking back and forth on Twitter. And that's the thing. When Tom Brady does this, he's a fiery guy. He's encouraging his teammates. But a receiver does, look at this diva receiver and all this other bullshit that they like to throw out at receivers. Now, you want to win just like any other teammate, man.
Yep. The way we lost that game was straight disgusting.
Yeah, man.
So that's we done played Detroit the last two out of 3 years, and both times we had them beat and let them come back and win. The first time, they was up like 28-3. Tony Romo threw like two interceptions, returned for touchdowns. They come back and beat us by 1 point, I think it was.
And that was another game where they was throwing jump balls to Calvin. So it wasn't like he wasn't in coverage. It's just, you know, every once in a while you had them games against him where he just making plays like that. It shouldn't get
that
bad.
Well, like I said, that guy ended up throwing the rumble through like two interceptions that were returning for touchdowns.
Right, right.
But this game here, ain't no way I would let the receivers come out the line without a jam. I would just went on, tell everybody, man, okay, safety's over the top, and y'all rush that daggone quarterback. Hey, we finna get it. We ain't finna turn the calf loose. They let me catch. And they let me catch. I hate when you go to the prevent, let the receiver run down the field easy. I don't like that defense. I don't know why they still run it. And
like my pops always say, prevent you from winning.
That's
about all it do.
So, like I said, I'm looking at a lack of coaching.
Mm-hmm.
This is a coaching issue now. And I guess I can't put this on Jerry because Jerry hired the personnel. So,
what do you think of Monte Kiffin so far? Speaking of Jerry hiring the personnel as your defensive coordinator.
Well, considering that we have we picking up people off the street for our defensive line.
Right.
They just playing inconsistent. And that's probably because you can't get any pressure on the quarterback. But I'm looking at the guys, and they still feel like they're doing pretty good as far as getting the pressure on the quarterback with
DeMarcus
the guys
wearing
off the street
clothes. Yeah, DeMarcus wearing street clothes at the game.
So I don't think that. But I didn't. When they fired Rod Ryan, I didn't really think Rod Ryan was the problem. But I think the defense fits the personnel that we have better.
Yeah.
I think the scheme needs to be changed, a different type of scheme. But I think the defense fits better than the 3-4. So,
mm-hmm.
And that defense actually is the perfect defense if DeMarcus Ware is healthy. If he's healthy, that's the perfect defense for us to be running and to stop all these teams, even to shut down Peyton Manning. But DeMarcus Ware wasn't healthy in that game. He had a neck finger problem. The cornerbacks are going to have to play better. Claiborne's going to have to play better. Stacey's going to have to play better. That Sean Lee, man, is a beast.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he just ran out of gas on that one. He almost had a pick six, ran out of gas at the end. But he got another pick in the game, too. And, you know, he's making tackles everywhere. And Sean Lee's a ball player, man. I can't knock the Dallas defense too much for that game just because I think a lot of those plays were some BS plays. Now, at the end of the game, assuming shit and getting that old school Dan Marino put on him where Stafford faked the spike. And went in there and just did the QB sneak. Now, of course, you got to knock them for that. You got to always be ready. But I can't knock them too much for Calvin, man. A couple of those plays, man, it was just jump balls, and he just got them because he's 6'5", freak athlete.
The one, yeah, I think the most critical play was when Stafford threw the same route to Calvin, and they tackled him at the 1 yard line. And I was thinking to myself, y'all probably should let him score. But if y'all would let him score, I think it was like either 40 or 35 seconds on the clock, something like that. I mean, we still had our time out. So I was like, y'all probably should have let him score. And then all we had to do was, with that amount of time, with our time out, just getting field goal line again. Bailey had hit 253 yards in the game. So it was just too much inconsistency from game to game. And from what I've seen, Dallas should be like 8-0. They've given every game away. Nobody has beaten them. They've given the game away.
Y'all in the NFC East, though, so no matter what, you still got a puncher's chance, and you're still leading the division, actually, right now, right?
Yeah. It should be over with. It shouldn't be no race. It should be 8-0. And won the division already.
Spoken like a true Cowboys fan right there. So it should be 8-0. But I don't know, man. I think y'all still got a lot. We got a lot to see with y'all as far as the season. Who knows how many players on defense get healthy, and if y'all get that running game situated, I mean, who knows?
Oh, yeah, another thing, like, they brought Bill Callahan in to call plays, play calling short in that game.
Yeah, I've always hated Bill Callahan.
They had 8-9 men in the box on first down for run blitzing every first down.
Because they knew what was coming.
You don't call not one play action pass.
Man,
you don't run a screen or something.
Yeah, but that Super Bowl, Tampa Bay, Oakland, when Callahan was the head coach of Oakland and came out there, knowing Oakland knew all of their plays, knew all of their signs, protections, everything, and he didn't change anything, man, that should make him ineligible to coach in the NFL, period, man. There's no way anybody should have something like that on their record and be allowed to come back. So I can't believe they gave him play calling duties either.
Well, I think the way it's going, depending upon how much money he's getting paid, he might be the new Cowboy coach.
Oh, hell.
And you saw how Jason Garrett did Wade Phillips.
Mm-hmm.
Is Bill Callahan doing the same thing to Jason Garrett?
Yeah, could be. But, man, that'd be a big mistake for Jerry, man, if he goes to Bill Callahan. Yeah. A lot more coaches out there, man. Take a look around, Jerry. You ain't got to hire no damn Callahan.
Well, you can hire Callahan because if you hire Callahan, he still doesn't have to hire a GM. He can still sit down and be the GM.
True. Some of those big-name coaches are going to want some power.
That's why I was hoping Sean Payton would have got the job. He was told, I'll take the job. Go sit your ass down, drink your drink. And you can talk your shit and all that stuff and say you did it, but I'm going to get my own GM. I want total autonomy. And we can get the Cowboys back to where the Cowboys are supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Winning, and then collecting championships.
Yeah. I mean, it'd be nice to see, man. We have to see how this goes. Let me move it on. Let me take it to the story of the weird real quick. I'm going to kill the pronunciation of this man's name because I didn't take the time to research and see how it said. You know how it is. J.O. Rodrigo Silva Santos, former soccer player in Brazil. I don't know what happened, who he had beef with, but his wife, he didn't come home last night. His wife got up in the morning on her way to work, and found his head sitting in front of the door. His head sitting in front of the door.
Damn.
So, yeah.
I hadn't heard of that one.
They ain't playing out there in Brazil, man.
They ain't playing.
So, I don't know what
get
happened.
Up the door, get up and his head is sitting out. Wow.
Yeah, man. So, I don't know, man. Sad, sick story, man, but just to let you know, boy, it's a crazy world out here.
Did he have a soccer game that night and they lost or something?
Nah, he had actually retired, and he was he owns a health food store, and he's running his store. But, you know,
he must owe somebody some money.
Got a problem with somebody or something.
That sounds like he owes somebody some money or he's messing with their wife.
Yeah, for somebody to take it that far, it got to be something, man. It wasn't no small thing.
Yeah.
Right. World Series, World Series update. The Red Sox pretty much got the game, right? It's pretty much over.
The Falcon and Raiders over there up 6-0 right now.
Mm-hmm. They smacked the old Waka around a little bit, huh?
So,
shout out to Barzy, Red Sox fan. Look like they're getting another chip.
Yeah, let me ask you a question. I was listening to one of my favorite talk show hosts earlier today. He brought up some good points about Big Poppy. And his point was, nobody Big Poppy's age at 37 has hit this way off in the World Series since Barry Bonds. So he said that should raise some red flags or some suspicion. And then he goes to further say that Big Poppy was one of the players that was on that list that came out.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's a doubt that he's used, you know what I mean, over the last few years. And if he's using the right way to where he's cycling off so he can pass tests when the season starts, I mean, what do you do? If he's passing the tests, I mean, what can you really do? But no doubt in my mind.
If they lose the World Series, it's been done. So, damn, it's been done.
Right.
They're not gonna change the World Series outcome.
Right. He out there hitting like 500 or something like that in this World Series, right? Something crazy.
Yeah, like 700 something slugging percentage.
Poppy on that juice, homie.
And he hit 98-mile-an-hour fastball. I was watching him. Them St. Louis pitchers got some arms on them. Everybody else striking out. Big Poppy come up there taking out the park. Like, man. And these guys, like, 10, 15 years younger than him, can't hit the ball. Big Poppy, like, let me show you how to do it, young fella. Pow! Big Poppy? You got bad speed like that?
I wouldn't outright accuse the man and say he's on the juice right now, but in my opinion, I think he's used it and cycled off before the season. And now, you know, he's enjoying the benefits of that. But as Barzy always brings up, you still got to have the bat speed to catch up to it. You still got to have the eye to see the pitches.
Well,
so, I mean, it still takes some ability to do what he's doing.
Well, somebody else brought something to my attention, too. He does. And it was like, this is probably the only time he played baseball all year. Because he DHs, all he does is come in and hit.
Mm-hmm.
So, and going to the National League part, he had to actually play baseball, you know, get on base and everything. And it's probably, so he should be well rested.
Yeah, right. As DH, you should be well rested.
Yeah.
Poppy out there doing it. So we about to see the Red Sox get another chip, man.
I'm sorry, I was looking at the Minnesota Orlando game, and Kevin Love just hit a 3-pointer to tie the game with 10.1 seconds left in the game.
Hmm. Yeah, Orlando, it's a lot of struggle down there, man. They're going to be in that 0-14 lottery.
I don't think so. They got some really good young players.
Yeah, they rebuilding all day, but, I mean, you ain't going to win with that team right now. So
I think they can get the 8th spot.
They rigging for Wiggins. You know what I mean? Rigging for Wiggins, just like a couple of them other teams.
I don't think so. I think they got some really good young talent because I had one of their players on my fantasy team, and I had a couple of their players last year on my fantasy team. They were, and both of them was averaging double-doubles or almost averaging double-doubles.
Yeah, because they're playing major minutes and they're getting shots, but they're not going to win. Look, they're not going to win over 25 games, man.
I think they're going to win over 25. We might have to come back and revisit that.
Okay. Oladipo and Vucevic, those guys are going to put up numbers. Tobias Harris is going to continue to show that he can play. But, I mean, outside of that, man, you're just getting young guys minutes. But it's going to be hard to get to that.
Nicholson can play good.
Yeah, he's okay.
And what was that son they had?
How about Vucevic?
Yeah, Vucevic, yeah. Yeah, he, so Tobias Harris hasn't even played yet because he hurt with a foot injury. And I know that because he's on my fantasy team.
Yeah, that kid could play, man.
So, they're not in the Wizards sweepstakes because Wizards had to come in and take this Tobias Harris' spot.
Look, man.
So they got Kevin Martin out there, too.
You can believe what you want to about that Orlando team, man. They ain't winning nothing. Net 10. And they ain't getting in no playoffs. They trying to get that pick. I mean, we're going to see midseason, though, who's right on this. If they mess around and they win it, man, I'm going to have to go ahead and throw that respect to you and say you called it early, first game of the season before anybody did, that Orlando would do something.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to win over 25. They might be able to get that eight spot. As long as they stay healthy. But the East, I think, going to OT. The East, from the mid to the bottom, I think they all the same.
I don't know, man. It's going to be tough, though. We got to see what some of these teams' chemistry is like Detroit.
The East is top heavy. The East is top heavy with the Heat.
Yeah, but it's so many who you don't know about. Like, the Hawks are built to get a 7th or 8th seed, but you never know. They might hit a losing streak and not make the playoffs.
I don't want them to make the playoffs. I don't want them to win less than
I don't either, but that's the way they're built, though. They got talent.
I hate to say that because I always want them to win, but
yeah,
if they lose this time, they win.
Mm.
We need a superstar in the city.
I agree. I just think they're going about it the wrong way. When you got veterans like Elton Brand coming off the bench, playing sparse minutes, that kind of stuff wins you games, man, and we don't need to be winning close games. Like right now, they're having a tough fight here with Dallas. So we're going to see. Well, let's move it to college, though, James. Let's talk about this game, man. I know you, as a college football head, and especially you got a lot of history with these two teams, man. I mean, it's a big showdown, man, the biggest showdown they've had in a while. Florida State, Miami, man. It ain't been this big since the Charlie Ward days. What do you see happening Saturday?
In Miami winning.
Ooh, MIA.
MIA. But I'm a little biased. I always like the Hurricanes. I never liked Florida State.
Mm-hmm.
So I always root for Miami winning. But I do like that kid, Jameis Winston. That kid there. That kid there looks like the truth. And each week, I keep saying, I just want to see what he's doing. I want to see how he's going to progress. And the game is getting tougher, but he's still seeming like he's the best player out there on the field.
Yeah, man, putting up better numbers than Johnny Football did last year. They wasn't fucking around the other day. I don't remember who it was, NC State or whoever it was. It was 35-0, end of the first.
Yeah.
They were playing around.
No, they ain't playing around. But Miami has the talent. I'm not sure how much they were actually affected by what's been going on. But I was looking at the talent, and they look like they still had a talent to compete with Florida State. The only thing is Stephen Morris, the last two games, he had been turning the ball over.
Yeah,
so I haven't watched the game, so I don't know if it's due to him making mental mistakes and trying to force stuff, or if him and the receivers aren't on the same page. I hadn't watched the games. I did record them, but there's so much get big, so much. Yeah, my DVR fool. We got over 111 on me. I'm trying to cut it down.
You better start deleting, man.
Oh, I've been deleting. All the games, I just had to let go. I can't watch. I'm going to have to delete this Lakers game from last night because I got fresh basketball on now, so I can't watch.
Yeah. Man, that was the surprise of the night for most people. For me, it was a surprise, but it wasn't that big because I'm not that high on the Clippers like all of these people are for some reason. You got all these people talking chip with the Clippers, and I just don't get it. They're a good team, but they're not exceptional in any way. So I could see the Lakers pulling out a win on them. And yesterday, they shot the lights out and beat them, man. Clippers over there looking bad.
Yep. Well,
this game won.
Yeah, this game won. They have 81 more games to play. The Heat lost tonight, so like I say, they got 81 more games to play. They got the Heat got up
for the Bulls.
The Bulls. They whooped the Bulls. They sat D Wade down tonight, and got surprised, I believe. So.
Right.
And then yeah, Chesterfield was probably the same as it was the night before because they was so hell bent on showing up the Chicago Bulls with Derrick Rose back because all the talk about D. Rose is back. What is he going to do this, that, and the third?
They beat the hell out of the Bulls. They look like the same old Bulls, man. When Rose is out there, they can score. When he's not out there, they were struggling. It looked like the same Bulls. But, man, that young kid is good as hell, though, man. Jimmy Butler.
Oh, yeah. He looks really good.
Yeah. Damn, Jimmy Butler is fucking good. But, yeah, Miami took care of business easily. Indiana took care of business, beating Orlando. So it was an interesting opening night, and I wish I could see more, but I'm dealing with issues with Comcast, man. I'm going to have to at them on Twitter. Bad service, but it is what it is. But before we get stuck in this NBA stuff again, FSU Miami, I'm going FSU again, man. I've been riding with them since all the hype started. I'm not going to front and act like I said it before the season, but I'm going to ride with Florida State.
All right.
You sticking with MIA, though, huh?
Yeah, I'm sticking with MIA. I ain't putting no money on it. But
right.
I have my green and orange on, rooting for them chains.
Yeah. Well, sticking in college, let's go over to Florida Atlantic. Florida Atlantic University. Coach Pelini, who is the brother of Coach Bo Pelini at Nebraska, him and his defensive coordinator had to resign under allegations of them smoking weed. I said, what the hell? Coaches is out here burning now? So they were accused by somebody who claimed to have seen something or smelled something, and they didn't fight it. They just resigned.
And I looked at the man's record over the last 3 years. I think it was like 3-20-some or 5-20-some. You need to smoke something to keep your head right. All that losing, man. They should be like, man, I'll let you ride on that, man. I understand.
Right.
Because he's smoking the weed. And thinking about, man, I'm going to be fired this next couple of years. In the next year, everybody will get fired this year.
Right.
I can't get no talent in this mode.
Athletic director, happy as hell, because that's one of them Al Davis moves. You were fired for cause. We do not have to pay you. You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean.
So they got him up out of there. And we'll see if he joins Nebraska staff or something like that later on, man.
You don't need a coach. They join the Nebraska staff because his brother might be short-timing it, too.
His brother better not try to pull a move like that. Oh, that might get him fired off the rip.
He's already. So he was talking about him early in the year. So
yep.
He might be out. Be doing a lot of hanging this summer.
But you know what, though, man? That's the weirdest thing about college football, though, man. Just generations. Me growing up, Nebraska was a football powerhouse. Now watching them, you know, in the last 10 years or so, man, you know, they're just a shell of themselves, man, and that's kind of how college rolls sometimes. The Miami now, who looks like they're on the rise, and Florida State's on the rise, man, they were powerhouses growing up watching those guys, man. It's just weird how college works like that.
Well, I'm going to tell you the thing that has switched everything around. If you look at it, when you were coming up, they had coaches in the Big Ten, what was it, the Big Ten, the Big Eight, I think it was.
Big Eight.
The Southwestern Conference, the Big East, and stuff that had, they had legendary coaches. So another thing that happened is all those factories and stuff up north were still there.
Yeah.
So now the factories are gone. There aren't very many jobs. There are no legendary coaches up there. All the legendary coaches now are in the SEC. And all the talent is down south.
People are moving, and then you had the scholarship limitation where they took away some of the scholarships to kind of even the playing field to where four-star guys would go somewhere and sit for 2 years. Now they just go to a smaller school or a school with less prestige and play immediately as a freshman. So that was a big part of it too, because everybody started getting on TV. So kids were like, well, shit, I can go get seen at Central Florida or somewhere. I don't have to go to, you know, this big school that wants me to sit the bench.
Yeah, and then the big thing back then, I think they had over 100 scholarships.
Right.
Back then for football. Now they have 85.
Right.
And all that stuff has diluted the prospects that the teams have to work with. But the main thing is, like the Big Ten, for instance. Let's take the Big Ten, for instance. Every team in the Big Ten is fucked, except for Ohio State and Michigan and pretty much Wisconsin.
So in your opinion, sir, you can't just say that like it's a fact.
What I'm saying is, if you go back and look at the records,
they were a lot better 10 years ago. Yeah, no, I agree.
Yeah, so it's like, I mean, you watch a game, Ohio State goes undefeated almost every year. And so they don't really have any competition in the in their conference. Urban Meyer when he came to the Big Ten, he was like, y'all need to get better on y'all recruiting as a conference.
Went undefeated last year, and Michigan being in the process of rebuilding leaves it to Ohio State, because just look at those budgets. Ohio State and Michigan are the big money schools. Everybody else is, you know.
And see, that's the difference. Look at the SEC. Okay, check this out.
We're a basketball conference. We're not a football conference. We're basketball, Big Ten.
Well, check this out. Well, that's why y'all third in the daggone third or fourth best conference in the country.
Right.
But look at the, Ohio State has, I think, 100,000 seat stadium. They just added on the last 10 years, I think. Michigan got 120,000 seat stadium. And I think Penn State has like a 80,000, 90-some thousand seat stadium. Now let's talk about the SEC. Georgia, 92,000, 94,000 seat stadium. South Carolina, 90-some thousand seat stadium. Alabama has two stadiums, 90-some thousand seat stadium. LSU, 97,000 seat. I think the only school, it's only like maybe two or three schools in the SEC that have less than 80,000 seat stadiums.
Yeah.
And I think they have like 50,000 seat stadiums. And see, that's a big discrepancy right there. That shows you how much football is king down here. But, I mean,
right. These are cultural differences. Like down here, anybody on the local radio, they could do college. They could talk about college football all year round. Up north, they talk about college football during bowl season or after a big game. Like, they don't really care about college football that much like that. It's more basketball area. So I thought that was weird when I first came down here, just seeing how much people like college football.
Yeah, and then Notre Dame, they being progressive was like, okay, to try to improve our school and be able to get the best talent, we need to leave these alliances, these rivalries alone with the Big Ten and establish some new rivalries with the ACC. So we can try to get some of this Southern talent, because this is where the talent is.
But yeah, they can try to get back to that good.
To an elite status. Well, the problem with Notre Dame is the best players do not want to go to Notre Dame to play ball.
Yeah. So by scheduling all that other stuff, you end up getting beat. So you're safer to just schedule those Big Ten teams you know you can beat and pad your record.
Another thing, too, is Notre Dame pretty much has been been down pretty much since 89 on. They've been down pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
And so all the kids, when they look at Notre Dame, they like, they don't look at Notre Dame as a prestigious football school. Everybody that looks at Notre Dame as a prestigious football school is older than
30 plus.
Shoot, they older than 45, 50. They like in their 50s.
Yeah.
And stuff. But the kids look at it like, why am we going to Notre Dame? There ain't no girls there. It's in the cold. It's in the middle of nowhere.
Y'all don't win.
There ain't no girls there.
Well, y'all ain't won nothing, so what the hell am I going
to have? Yeah, you ain't won nothing. So why am we going there? What?
Right. That they used to have that hammer, which was they were on TV all over the country because they had the big TV deal. Now everybody has TV deals, so that don't mean nothing no more.
Yep. So you can stay down south, go to school, play ball, plenty of girls, or whatever else you want to do. And it'd be hot almost year round.
Yeah, so they struggling, man, but to hell with them. I ain't never been a fan of Notre Dame anyway, man.
Me neither. My great uncle played at Michigan, so I always liked Michigan.
Well, let's move it back to a controversial topic we talked about years ago. Now the rest of it, I mean, I don't want to play it like they copying off us, but I'm just saying we talked about it beforehand, man. Redskins name change again. The Oneida Nation, which is a Native American group, wants to meet with all the owners. They had a press conference today. The guy basically called them out on their hypocrisy. And I don't know, man. At first I thought no matter what, Snyder was going to be able to do what he wanted to do. But I'm starting to think this thing is going to move, man, because there's so many people getting on the side of the Native Americans who want it changed.
Well, it's kind of a touchy subject. As far as I'm concerned and being a diehard Cowboy fan that I am, it don't sound like saying Dallas Cowboys versus anything else but the Redskins.
Yeah, but that changes over time, though, James. Think about how long we got used to saying Pac-10. Now we're saying Pac-12 with no hesitation.
Yeah, well, I have friends who are Washington fans, and I don't think I've heard not one of them talk about the name being changed.
Well, it ain't about them. It ain't about them or their feelings or what they think.
Actually, it is about them. That's one of the reasons why Snyder has not tried to change the name.
Yeah, but if his fan base
was to rise up and be like, okay, we need to change the name, he'd probably change the name. But his fan base hasn't risen up and said they want his name changed.
Nobody cares about the fan base. They have no say in anything like this. If it changes, they'll buy burgundy and gold jerseys or whatever the name change is. They talk that ish now like those baseball fans who said they wasn't coming back after the strike. When the season starts, they'll be there. They just popping shit right now.
So what are they going to do let's say they do the name change or whatever. So when people go to the game, they have their throwbacks on. What they still gonna be Redskins? They got Joe Theismann jersey on. It's gonna be Redskins. It's not gonna be Renegade or whatever they. If they do change it, whatever they want to change it, they're not gonna be able to eliminate that. They gonna stop selling those
jerseys. Now that's the part that's in the hands of the fan base. If the fan base decides we're gonna rebel and wear throwbacks all the time with Redskins stuff on it, then
them
are just gonna allow them to do that. They're not gonna fight them on that.
Well, what I mean is, are they gonna stop selling Joe Theismann jersey with Redskin on it? You know what I'm saying? Are they gonna stop selling with the John Riggins jersey with Redskins on it? See,
now you can get an updated throwback. It won't say Redskins on it. It'll just be the same jersey. You know what I mean? So they'll sell another jersey. You know how these guys get down, man.
Yeah.
One monkey don't stop no show. They gonna still get that money. I feel you on the fans, though. The fans do have the right to say, look, I like this. I'm wearing this jersey. And I think Snyder and them will have to relent on that part. And like I said, Snyder's on their side. It's just a whole lot of the rest of the world is not on their side on this because they see the name as a slur and nothing more. Now, the problem becomes when you try to defend it, the Redskins say, well, we're doing this to honor them. And then you say, okay, well, what have you done to honor Native Americans? Is there some kind of program you have that honors them? Are you giving to some kind of reservation fund? What are you doing that honors them besides this name? And that just gets exposed as a lie. Florida State Seminoles actually give to Seminole reservations. They got different workshops and things they do with actual, relatives of Seminoles. So they got some backing behind saying we're using this name, as a tradition and as a nod to them. Redskins don't have anything like that. So that's where you start getting problematic. When you start asking real questions about them saying the name is about pride, ain't nothing to show for it.
I can understand that as well.
Yeah, so I don't know. So that's the biggest issue for Snyder. How does he get it to where you're saying you're showing respect to him, but you don't have anything to back it up?
Well, I think what's going to happen is it's probably going to be a payout eventually. And I don't know if it's going to be a payout to keep the name or a payout. And they remove the name. But something like that is going to go down eventually.
Yeah.
And the main people that, I ain't really heard anything about anybody. The only people I see that seem to be pushing this seem to be ESPN. And ESPN to me seem like they're just trying to, I don't know what their agenda is. But they seem like they're trying to push their agendas on everyone.
Yeah, but see, but then there becomes a problem with that, too, because they're writing on both sides of it. Rick Riley and a few other people have written about how they should keep it, and it's a proud name and this and that. And then you've had Dave Zirin and a couple other people, come from the other side. The problem came, Rick Riley wrote that article saying his Native American stepfather agreed that the name should change and there's no problem with it. The stepfather did an interview and said Rick Riley was lying. He hates the name and doesn't want the name there. So I don't know. It's a tough issue, man. I don't want to spend too much time on this, but I'm starting to think now that it actually will change. Earlier when we talked about it, I didn't think nothing would happen, but the NFL is big business now, man. You got to conduct yourself like big business.
Think about this, I just thought about. And maybe Dan Snyder will have them pay him to change the name.
The rest of the owners or the league?
The owners of the league or the NBA to change. Okay, I'll change it. I need y'all to buy all this merchandise. I need y'all to buy this. I need y'all this. And I'll change it. I got all this stuff.
I don't think that'll go over well in the press, man. Billionaire guy says, y'all pay for it. Y'all want to change it. He got to be careful, man. He's had some bad run-ins with the press.
Yeah.
I don't think that'll go too good for him, man. Guys will be writing articles left and right.
You said the key word, though. Billionaire.
Yeah.
Ain't nobody gonna boycott the games.
Nope. Nobody can make him do this. They got to persuade him to do this by saying that this is bad for business. If it becomes bad for business, the rest of the owners will get on board and say, yeah, you got to change this. But if it's not bad for business, then they're not going to make him do nothing.
Yeah.
This is asking.
Yeah, but like I say, you talk about the fans, the fans are not coming to the games because they want him to change the name.
Come on, Jay.
You think 6,000 people stop showing up or say they're not going to purchase their season tickets because they want to change the name, he's going to change the name.
Fans like to talk. That's all I'm going to say about that. Fans like to talk. They ain't going to do nothing but show up when the season starts, man.
I'm calling Redskins fans because they going to be there with that Redskins singing that song that they sang.
That's what I think.
To the Redskins. And,
yep. That's what I think.
Yeah, they Indian chief out there and all that stuff. They going to be out there doing all of that.
I think you're right. I think the name will change, but the fans will wear that old Redskins stuff. They will sing Hail to the Redskins and all that. I think all that's going to stay. That's going to take some years to go away. But I don't know, man. It's crazy. It's funny, though, because talking to you about this, because you're a rival of the Redskins. You've grown up hating that team, being the main rival for your team. So, no, it's going to be interesting. Switching gears, Iverson officially retired today, so Philly milked some more out of that. Seemed to hype them up for the win tonight. So no more AI, man. No more comebacks. No more rumors of a comeback. It's finally over, man. Shout out to him, one of the greatest to ever do it. And a dude who deserves more respect than he gets nowadays.
Man, they say you see AI downtown, my friend, too.
Yeah. I've heard a few of them stories, too.
It was not the kind of ending that I was expecting and hoped for AI.
Mm-hmm.
Being as great of a player as he was, he should have at least got to finish his career playing in the league. Doing his farewell tour and getting the respect that he deserves in all the arenas.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a bittersweet. But the only thing I can say is he did it to himself.
Yeah. The two people I hold most responsible for the way his career ended are number one, of course, Allen Iverson, and then number two, Larry Brown. And I don't say that to say that Larry Brown didn't have a positive influence on him. I say that because Larry Brown moved him to two guard and let Allen Iverson just score. If he has continued to force him to play the point, AI probably could have extended his career a lot longer as a point guard as opposed to being a 6-foot shooting guard.
Right.
You know, because he got older, lost his quickness. He still wanted all-star treatment, but he wasn't that guy anymore, and that was hard for him to accept. Either way, shout-out to AI, man. Man, we might see the book closing on two of those guys, two of those iconic athletes from Virginia, because might be over for Mike Vick, too. We might see him doing a clipboard tour after this.
This could be his last season if he doesn't doing it better. The hamstring, at least he's not playing bad, and he's not playing at all because of a hamstring this time. I think this is the first time he's been out due to a hamstring.
Right.
But he was actually, if you go back and look at the stats when he was playing, the offense ran a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
I think Nick Foles would be that quarterback in this week. But Nick Foles, before.
Well, watching Nick Foles, they're going to draft another quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
They're drafting another quarterback.
Nick Foles is
well, Nick Foles doesn't. Nick Foles doesn't really fit his system.
But he's just not that good either. That's the other part about it. Like, Nick Foles clearly looks like a guy who could be a journeyman backup around the league for 10 years or so. But he's not going to be the guy.
He might be better than Al Jacksonville quarterback.
but that's saying he's better because those guys might not even be able to be journeymen. Blaine Gabbert, he might just be out of the league on some Ryan Leaf shit.
Shoot, I think he played longer than Ryan Leaf, I think.
Yeah, so far. What, he made it 3 years now? Or four? Because Cam, yeah, he came in with Cam.
I think it's 4 years.
Yeah. So,
yeah, but this might, Blaine Gabbert would probably be on the clipboard too, selling insurance.
Yeah, for sure. But he got that first round money, boy. Hold it. Well, I just thought of something too, man. I forgot that question that Jerry raised. Let me ask you, Cowboys fan James Robinson. Anything close to reality about him saying prime time could shut down Megatron? Today's rules. Not the rules when Prime was playing. Today's rules.
I have to say, yeah. I think you shut it down because he was already playing like that.
They ain't want no contact no way.
I mean, he was already playing like that. He'll bump him on the line. And he'll let him go, or he'll play off of him.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times he play off like he was beat. And then when you shoot the ball in there, you take it off. And, oh, yeah, I'm not beat. I was just baby.
Oh, yeah. Deion played a lot of quarterbacks for suckers, man, out there. I hear some static in the background. I don't know who's calling in. Who's on the line?
Hey, man, it's just Pete from the Paul. I'm actually at East Point right now. What's happening?
The great Pierre. Ain't nothing, man. Me and James just shooting the shit. well, Pierre,
hey,
you
man.
Played corner.
Yeah.
Why don't you touch that question? You played corner.
I tried to play Calvin Johnson. I couldn't do it. Like, I tried that shit in high school. And I tried that shit at Georgia Tech. We actually came out the same year, and Georgia Tech had like a camp where they had basically a senior rising seniors camp, and I never forget it. Like, and it's one of these like life lessons in life. Like, seriously, I left that camp talking about Calvin Johnson. I left that camp talking about, like, man, Santa Cruz High School, man, they got this tight end. At the time, he was so damn big, I thought he was a tight end. Like,
right.
I came back like literally screaming and raving about this tight end that, like, camp, Sandy Creek had at the camp because, like, we had one-on-one drills and we had a number of different guys up here, guys from Florida, Tennessee, you name it, all seniors, you know, all, you know, supposedly that Georgia Tech was looking at. All major colleges have it. You know, they have that one camp where they invite everybody that's going to be coming out that year and, you know, they kind of size them up pretty much. They weigh you. They catch your height. They also put you out there on one-on-one. They feed you good, everything. And they had this one guy, square-looking guy from Sandy Creek, knee, like shorts above his knees, and they just kept running go routes, one-on-one. I mean, he ran nine, like, fly routes, back-to-back-to-back on nine different, supposedly elite corners. And I was, like, maybe, like, the 10th guy that was up. So, you know, in my mind, I'm like, well, damn this shit. Like, well, he's not just finna run by me. I mean, I done seen how he done ran. You know, all the other receivers that are there, they just told him, you know, sit down. Hey, Calvin, run another nine route. like we just not even there. And he was just going past guys back to back, back to back to back. So when I get up there, you know, I'm the last guy. So, of course, I say, I'm going to play off of this guy. So as the ball snap, I say, man, I'm just going to take off running. I take off running. And, of course, you know, I get to where I can make a play on the ball. But then as that 6'5" frame just go over the top of me, I feel his nuts like on my shoulder. That's when I realized, like, right then and there, I was like, okay, something about this guy is special, man. So, like, just knowing that then, seeing his career at Georgia Tech, I mean, this guy's a phenom, seriously, phenom, you know, and Deion would not be able to guard him for the simple fact that the guys with the size, not to say guys didn't have size in his era, I mean, because you had the Herman Moores, you know, you had those guys that had that elite size that were just as big as guys are now, but they were nowhere near as athletic and nowhere near as fast, and that will be the problem. Deion was never a physical guy. I mean, he would go over the top of Deion just like he go over the top of these guys that's out here right now in the league. I mean, a very, very special guy. And I think Dez is the same way. I think Dez is this generation's
Mike Irvin,
seriously. Like,
yeah.
I mean, the physicality in which he plays with, you know, at that position. I mean, I think he is just as good as Calvin. It's just two totally different players. I mean,
that play on the sideline where he caught it, everybody threw themselves at him, and he just brushed them off, took it to the house.
Just brushed them off, man. He plays like AP out there at the receiver position, man.
Right.
I mean, and then you look at the fade route, man. It's, like, unbelievable. Like, he would never make those plays in practice, but he's just that type of guy that when the game come on, shit slow down for him, the lights come on, like, stars shine brighter, he's that type of guy. You know what I'm saying? And it's not a doubt in my mind. If they targeted him 16 times, I mean, we might be talking about two guys that broke the record in one game. It's just the fact that, you know, the way the offense is structured, you know, the way in which they were running plays, the fact that they was up, you know, the game plan changed and they kind of tried to ride things out. And that's part of the reason why his frustration came in, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, no question. We touched on that earlier. Called it for what it was, people overreacting and treating people different. Tom Brady is being fiery. Dez is being a diva. That's how, you know, most of the media covers this kind of stuff, man. Sad shit. But sticking with corners, this one surprised me today, man. I don't know if y'all knew this, but the corner who's fallen off in the last couple of years a lot, Nnamdi Asomugha, is married to Kerry Washington, and they're about to have a baby.
Oh, yeah.
That boy Nnamdi out here winning in the game of life.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, man. He got foundations and everything, which he gave back, you know, close to like $5 or $6 million of his own money, you know, to help out the youth in his area. So, you know, it's beyond football, man, beyond football. Some people say he might be a wash, a bust, but this man, like you said, done won at life. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Got two major deals in his lifetime, sports-wise. He came out of, what, Stanford, unheralded? Cal. He came out of Cal, unheralded, or Stanford. I can't even remember which one. One of them.
I think it was Cal. Yeah.
Unheralded, not a high pick, made his name in the league, on a sorry-ass team, got a chick, got a bad chick. Still staying out that way. I mean, what else? What else do you want?
Right. Shout out to Dungy, man.
Fuck a ring. He can buy a ring. You know what I mean?
Right. I'm 100 with you on that, man. Well, let me ask both of y'all this next one then. Let me go to James first. Just with everything that happened last week, we heard all the rumors, all the teams who look like they're going bad, and nothing happened, but should the NFL make trades easier?
Should they make them easier?
Yeah, as far as, you know, cap penalties and everything else you have to go through to get a trade done. Because, I mean, the NFL is the hardest league to trade in. just because of how much the draft picks are worth.
No, they shouldn't make it easy. I mean, if you want to make a trade, you can make a trade. It's just teams on the new structure, the way the new structure is set up. Teams are going to start getting penalized for being over the cap. And the new structure makes it easier for you to have rookies for longer periods of time and not pay them. Like, I think in a new collective bargaining agreement, the players need to have it where the rookies can have options in their contract after their second or third year based on performance. Whereas right now, they just stuck for 4 or 5 years.
Josh Freeman out there for $500,000. Not Josh Freeman, my man out in Seattle.
Russell Wilson.
Russell Wilson out there for $500,000.
He signed a third round contract.
Yeah.
And he can't even negotiate until I think year three or four. And he's already outplayed that contract. So
they will not restructure the deal ahead of time. And I can't blame them for not doing it, for the simple fact that if they restructure this deal now, it's only going to hurt the development of the team. You know, it's going to prevent them from going out and reaching and getting that, you know, that Percy Harvin. You know,
yeah.
It's going to prevent them from, you know, doing some of the, making, you know, grabbing some of the guys up, Cliff Averill's and guys in which they didn't, you know, signed over this time. So, I can't blame them for not making the deal.
Yeah, and you can see that on the teams who have a quarterback who they got in the later rounds, because then the rest of their team is built up because you spent the money elsewhere. San Fran, Seattle, of course, are the two main examples. But, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And it's only a matter of time. I mean, the quarterback's going to continue to get paid, but they're going to slow down on how much they're getting paid, man. It's just like, somebody's going to be a GM out there that's going to be like, hey, you know, we're going to turn this on you. If you're going to leave this franchise, it's on you leaving the franchise. This is what we're going to do. We're going to continue to try to make this team competitive. We're going to also give you a competitive offer, but we're not going to have you handicap this franchise, i.e. the Atlanta Falcons, with no bullshit deal. You know what I'm saying? We're not going to do it. And
if you get a chance, I'll touch on that.
Well, let's get into that. Well, with the Falcons, you got that part of it, in that Matt Ryan takes up so much cap because you had to pay him, franchise guy. But then the other side of that is you made trades for Julio and other things to where you lost some picks. Some of your picks didn't work out. So now you got a team with no depth and a quarterback who's taking up so much space, you can't go out and sign impact guys. You got to hope for a guy to develop.
Well, I blame all this on Thomas Dimitroff. People be telling my people need to get fired. I don't have no problem with Mike Smith. If somebody need to get fired, it needs to be Thomas Dimitroff. The only good deal good draft pick he's made has been the Julio Jones draft. Sam Baker. I guess he'd be considered average. The corners, they seem to be pretty good right now, but I look at some of the players we did pick. Like,
Jerry.
Do you remember when I told Jamal Anderson? You remember when I told y'all?
Well, Jamal Anderson, that's McKay.
When I told y'all, I was like, they need to, I didn't want Steven Jackson. That's money they could have used toward the offensive lineman.
Yep.
Eddie Lacy was right there to be had in the second round. We needed a running back. We could have got picked up Eddie Lacy, but because we had signed Steven Jackson to that money, which could have been used for offensive linemen, we had to daggone pass on.
Yeah,
true. We took John Abraham. He's the only one producing on the defensive line. Why you can't take Corey Mirabe?
Abraham looks pretty good that way.
And then use that money to get an offensive lineman and OC. That would just be Lord Abraham.
The way the season has gone, you got to question Dimitrov. Now, if it had worked out, people would be calling him a cap genius or whatever. But things didn't work out. He took a lot of risk on putting the money in certain areas. So I can't knock nothing you're saying about your argument on it, though. Everything you're saying is true.
I told y'all we should have picked up Alec Ogletree. Alec Ogletree is balling in St. Louis. We still can't cover the tight end. Got Cam Newton coming this week. Who gonna shadow Cam Newton this weekend? Cam Newton's gonna go crazy. He gonna really ATL start this time. Watch what I tell you this Sunday.
Real talk, man. Bro been waiting on this shit. They supposed to swept them last year.
True. Hometown kid, you want to beat Atlanta, of course. That's always in your mind. But they got that front seven playing so good now. He still don't have much weapons on offense, but they're being careful with the ball. Their defense is turning people over, and he handling business, man.
They're handling business, man. They run the rock a little bit more than what they need. You know, want more. Ted Ginn starting to play a little bit better. Still got frying pan for hands, but he's starting to turn it up. LaFell's starting to turn it up a little bit. I mean, Steve Smith is falling off, but because the other guys are starting to kind of lift their play, you know, it's going to only open up opportunities for him. This is going to be a loss this week for the Falcons. This is going to be the beginning of the end for the Eds this year because it's only going to get worse after this week.
Yeah, they got San Francisco. They got a lot on the schedule still.
In case
this would be a great loss. And the reason I'm saying this is this time is just going to tank the seed.
It don't matter if y'all try to tank or not.
I mean, the Jets is going to make their ass tank. Ain't no trying. The talent on the field is going to require them to tank.
Yeah.
Ain't got no damn choice.
Yeah.
So they need to do that. Go and get Clowney in the draft. And then Clowney in the offensive line. That's all you need to do, Clowney in the offensive line. Don't be getting a little bit of ass, 300-pound offensive line. You need to get some road grader, 330, 340.
They too fucking finesse, man. I mean, Steven Jackson ain't the problem. You know what I'm saying? Really, you know, he didn't got banged up, but, you know, for motherfuckers say, yo, Steven Jackson, they didn't pay Steven Jackson shit. So it ain't like he broke the bank. And you know you weren't going to get a quality offensive lineman for what they paid for him. You know what I'm saying? You weren't going to get nobody quality for what, $2 million a year? I think that's what they signed him for, like $6 million for the last, you know, next 3 years or some shit like that.
Right. That is a tough sell on a good old lineman.
A good old lineman ain't signing for that shit. You know what I'm saying? ain't no quality offensive lineman signing for no damn $2 million a year. I mean, so Steven Jackson was a good deal. It's just the fact that he just done such a terrible job over the years of acquiring, getting depth, man. And for all you Falcons fans, oh, we got injuries. Like, all the teams that have won the championship over the years have had major injuries. You know, I can take you back to the Green Bay Packers team. Like, how many guys got hurt on that Green Bay Packers team the year that they won the championship?
The Giants that upset the Pats had, Jeremy Shockey sitting in the box watching
Jeremy
the Super Bowl.
I mean, last year, you had Ray Lewis, Terrell Suggs out for at least 10 games apiece.
Right.
You know, these are two major defensive players on your team.
Yeah.
So, like, people get hurt. It's fucking football. I mean, what the Ravens did, the Ravens inserted Brian McKinney, in the playoffs. He didn't play none in the regular season.
Right.
So, like, you make a way. It's football. People get hurt. So, like, you know, the Falcons have been lucky over the last 3 years with nobody being hurt. they have been absolutely lucky. I won't say they won. They have been lucky in the games in which they won, but they have been truly lucky with the fact that they haven't had any major injuries in a sport that's so violent as football. They've been very lucky. You know what I'm saying? So the year that they get some injuries, I mean, they go to shit because, I mean, they haven't never – I mean, all the players in which you would normally get quality backup picks, he's traded off. And on top of those quality backup picks, I mean, you know they trash because you look what they do in the preseason every year. Hell, in the last 3 years, they probably won 3 preseason games in the last 3 years. And everybody know who plays in the preseason is the backups. So their backups ain't as good as everybody else's backups.
Well, Pierre, let me throw this at you then. Does Dimitroff have that smartest man in the room syndrome to where, because, I mean, we see this every year. He'll trade up in the third or the fourth because he feels like this person is that guy instead of sitting and taking
best available. He does, but his back end scouting, if you got that ability and the guys that he have reached for and jumped for have been players, I can give you that for the most part. But at the same token, in the game of football, you got to have that back end scouting. The one thing about the Atlanta Falcons, have not had any guys that's like, other than I can say, the last guy that I can say that was like probably Corey Bierman that was a later round pick that became a true player and somebody that's like, you
know. One of your rotation guys.
Not just a true player, a guy that you develop into a true guy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's the only guy. But you look up and down other franchises and other great franchises in the league. I mean, you got tons of 6-round picks. You got Courtney Finnegans. You got all these other guys and teams in which they develop. I mean, you got guys like Andre Ellington who just took off on your ass this week. I mean, 6-round picks. I mean, like,
you gotta
we don't have
those
that.
Guys.
They don't,
yeah, you're right.
They don't have those guys. They don't develop those guys.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, every guy that's good for the Falcons is a top 4 pick, you know, top 4 rounds. But they don't have any 5th, 6th, and 7th, so it's like, why the fuck are you picking them if these guys are not turning out to be anything? And that's why I question the Falcons when
it
comes to their back end.
I think that goes to my point, though, because if you're trading a 5th and a 6th to move up 20 spots in the 4th round, or you're trading your 6th next year to move up 2 spots in this draft, when you trade off most of those picks, then you got to hit on the ones that are left.
Absolutely,
so
they're not. Like I said, they back end scouting is the true problem with the fact. It's the back end scouting, and that's your best. That's really when you should really turn it up. You know, that's when the really good franchises. That's when they really turn it on. You know what I'm saying? That's when they really find those gems. That's when you find those Victor Cruzes. That's when you find those, like, these guys. I mean,
Jerry
all the same.
Found a Ahmad Bradshaw, what, in the 6th?
Yeah, in the 6th. You know what I'm saying? Like, and you look at the Ravens, you look up and down, they roster, it don't matter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you draft it. You know, you look at the guys, like, at the corner, the guy from, what is it, Norfolk State, over there at the corner. I can't even
think
of his
name.
Got
hurt last year. I can't think of his name. Darius Webb.
The Darius Webb, prime example.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? You just got guys that's turned into guys. You know, your Robert Mathis's. You know what I'm saying? These are later round picks. But, you know, the good organizations, I mean, it's one thing if you hit on a guy one time, but it seems like the good organizations, the good ones, they continue to hit on guys later round, continue. Every year, they find a guy. They put him out there, he plays. I do like Bartu. I really do. I really like him. I think he can be a good rotational guy for him. But you need more of those guys. And it's harder at the positions in which they're trying to get the guys to get them to be able to play. It's harder to get those guys in the trenches to turn out to be players.
Right.
You know, and that's where they really need them at, in the trenches.
No doubt, man. Hot fire from Pierre, as always. Y'all can hear my phone beeping, so my battery is running out. So we're about to get out of here in a second. Anything you guys want to say to close the show? If I do drop out, that just means my battery ran out in the middle of y'all. But anybody got anything you want to throw out there before we go?
Everybody at Georgia must go.
It's about that time. I truly agree, man. If it ain't this year,
I don't know when you're going to do it, man. This is the perfect time, man, because if you don't fuck around and do it this year, Rick will win 10 games next year. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I'm blue. Two national championships back to back.
The time is now. The time is now because Rick going to win 10 games next year. So you better do this shit this year. You know what I'm saying? You already better get your guys in order. And I hate to put a man out of a job, and Rick been a great guy and a great ambassador for the state of Georgia and the University of Georgia, but it's time to hand it over. And just for his sake, you know what I'm saying, let him get out of football for a year and find him somewhere else to go. Might be better off for him as well, you know what I'm saying?
Grantham needs to be the first one. Grantham
needs to be the first one. Grantham is so ass, it don't make no sense, man.
Man, he rolled that Cowboys listing on his resume to the death.
Man, this guy is trash. He trash with NFL caliber players. He trash with sorry players. How many first-round picks that Georgia really truly could have had off that team last year? How many top four-round picks he could have really had, you know, off that team? Like, Sean Williams was truly could have been a first-round pick, you know. I mean, not a first-round, but at least a top three-round pick, you know. So, I mean, it's terrible. But I'm going to give my part a shot because I know you're better about the damn man. You know, it's still Laker Nation. You know what I'm saying? It's live in effect, man. Something about that, you know, when you have that true passion, it's similar to that Red Sox passion. No matter who the hell you throw out there, man, you're going to play for that purple and gold regardless, you know. So, y'all saw that shit last night.
Golden State's shooting them out the gym right now.
Golden State's real good, though, man. They're not going to be a team like that this early. Not in the opener. They took care of the Clippers, though.
They took care of their ass. I mean, you got to do that because they in the same gym. You got to let them know, you know what I'm saying, you still second grade. You know, you got to let them know second grade. And on top of that, man, I'm rooting so hard for the Panthers this week, man, because, you know, after just being kicking it out there in that city, man, and seeing how much, you know, as important it is for them boys and kind of getting in with them, with the guys that's out there, man, I'm definitely rooting for them, man. I'm definitely rooting for them guys, man. So, you know, they can really, really go ahead and challenge the Saints for division because obviously the Falcons will not be able to do it. Of course, the Buccaneers will not be able to do it. So I just want somebody to kind of challenge them, and I think they'll be the perfect team to challenge them.
Yeah, no question, man. And for all y'all out there who was hating on Cam all these past couple years, I want to see that same hate for Eli who's out there playing behind a bad line. And team ain't together, and you see what happens. It ain't always the quarterback's fault, man.
Absolutely. And the one thing about it, Cam ain't never put up no numbers like Eli putting up this year. He had never done some shit like that. Eli got, 17 damn near interceptions and what? How many games? Eli threw for the record.
I know Brett Favre rooting for him. Get him out there,
right?
What's the record?
Shit, I don't know.
About 26, I believe 27-30, something like that.
Yeah, probably like 26 or 27. That sound about good. Eli Brown got by at least 17 right now.
And she Brett Favre hold an all time record for interception too.
Yep,
I know you're on all time, but I don't know what's the most in the season, but. Fucking Eli's going to swamp their ass.
Yeah,
Eli's going to have some of the best seasons ever and the worst season ever. That's what's going to make him unique.
Well, yeah, it's Speaking Like You're Thinking Radio. I'll be here back next Wednesday at 10. Shout out to James for holding the show down with me. Shout out to Pierre for calling in. Shout out to Gordon. I know he's doing the Hawks game. And Barzy out there celebrating his Red Sox championship tonight. It is what it is, though, man. We'll be back next week, man. Thank y'all for calling, Doc.
No problem, man. Y'all hold it down. Have a good one.
All right.
Hey, man, you been playing your team, man?
No, man. I ain't even got the passcode to get in.